Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell. I am the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School and the creator of the Celestial Timings. This audio is looking at Saturn's move into Scorpio. Saturn moves into Scorpio October 5th, 2012, and will be in Scorpio until December 23rd, 2014, when it enters Sagittarius. Will be in Sagittarius for nearly 6 months, returning to Scorpio on June 15th, 2015, and then will be in Scorpio until September 19, 2015. It has, it's every 29 and a half years for Saturn to return to any one given place in the sky. Sometimes a little sooner, sometimes a little later, but approximately 29 and a half years for a Saturn cycle. So that means anybody who is aged 29 to 30, sometimes as early as 28, or 58, 59 to 60 is in a Saturn return, either the first Saturn return or the second Saturn return. Very significant time in a person's life, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. If you have Saturn in Scorpio, you will be experiencing a Saturn return sometime over the next couple of years. Saturn literally moves through a sign. It takes about 2.5 years for it to move through a sign. And in this case, Saturn will be in Sagittarius for about 6 months. So even though in a way it's spanning almost 3 year time period, there is the movement of Saturn into Sagittarius for 6 months, and so truly about 2.5 years for Saturn in Scorpio. This is very significant in a collective sense, and I'm going to speak to that in a moment, but it's so everybody is going to feel the effects of Saturn in Scorpio, and I'm going to give some really great insights about how to work with Saturn in Scorpio. What's the best way to engage this energy, whether you have going or whether you're going to experience a Saturn cycle in the next 2.5 years, 3 years, or not. Working with Saturn in Scorpio can be very beneficial to you. We could say there are certain times in our life when things will be more productive, more supportive, more results oriented than other times. So, you know, for example, planting a garden in winter is not a good time. You may not get a very good garden if you get a garden at all. If you have a greenhouse and you can control the you know, all of that, then you might get a pretty good garden. But ideally, the energy is most supportive in the spring. And, you know, there's certain timings for planting, for harvesting, for cultivating, etc. And the same is true with initiation cycles. And so the things I'm going to suggest during this Saturn time in Scorpio is when you can do these things at other times and get results, but you're going to get even more results doing them at this particular time. So I'm going to share with you about that. Also, if you have angles or nodes or personal planets in the signs of Scorpio, Taurus, Leo, or Aquarius, you will be experiencing a Saturn cycle. If you have Saturn in one of these signs, Leo, Taurus, Scorpio, Aquarius, you will be experiencing either a Saturn return, a Saturn square, or a Saturn opposition. Saturn will be opposite any itself if you have Saturn in Taurus. These are also highly significant times in a person's life. Because when Saturn is to itself, it's representing cycles of growth, maturation, coming to maturity, and how we encounter these timings that are meant to produce literally a more mature experience of life. When we can work with a cycle, we get to benefit from it in a much greater way. Saturn literally is about structure and form. In much of traditional astrology, there has been a view of Saturn as being difficult, limiting, challenging, and certainly it can be that, but that isn't the essence of Saturn. The essence of Saturn really is truly about the form that we experience this reality. Without Saturn, we would not experience our middle world reality. We would not have a form to experience it within. So the form, our body, our bones, you know, the structure of the homes that we live in and the society that we live in and the rules that we live by, those are all in the domain of Saturn. Something else to be noting is that Saturn is the furthest away visible planet, the planet that we can see with our eyes, the furthest away planet that we can see with our eyes. And so in ancient times, the people considered this to be the outer limits or the outer boundaries of what we could experience, and why Saturn became connected to the essence of form, of matter. It's really a feminine planet, as I have expressed many times, because it has to do with matter. Matter is mother. The root word of matter is mother. Mother, matter, form. How we experience this world of form. In the last few thousand years, Saturn has been co-opted by the hierarchical, patriarchal view of the world and the systems that have been put into place, and has also been overlaid with a belief that we're not good enough just the way we are. It's been overlaid with a belief that we are somehow flawed and we need to prove ourselves and we need to work hard. And all of these belief systems that have been associated with Saturn are not really the essence of Saturn. It's just that our world will operate according to our beliefs. So if we can change those belief systems, we can change that point of view and change that essence of how we perceive our reality through those beliefs, then we can literally change the structure of our reality. Saturn has a certain fluidity to it, especially in certain cycles where there's things that can be changed. One of my favorite imagery to describe Saturn is the snake shedding his skin. So, you know, if we think of a growth process and the snake outgrows its skin, and the skin served it very well, it protected it. It helped it to, you know, move through the world and to have its experience. And then one day comes time to shed that skin because the snake has grown out of it. So Saturn cycles can represent that, you know, movement out of the old skin into a new perception, a new way of being. So that is sort of a summary of how that works. Everyone who experiences Saturn as an initiation process experiences the opportunity to grow and mature through the encounter of the limitations and boundaries and the belief systems and the perceptions that have been a part of their life up until that point. And then to look at those things, and when we're willing to let go of the things that no longer work, the things we've outgrown, and be open to moving into the new space, that's when growth and maturation can occur. But oftentimes we first encounter those limitations, and that can feel challenging and difficult. And honestly, there are times in Saturn cycles it can feel very depressing, like I'm never going to get beyond this. If we think about the snake shedding its skin, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy for that snake to move out of the old skin. And in a sense, it takes a will and determination to be willing to get out of the old skin. It takes every muscle, every ounce of strength and determination for that snake to get out of the skin. But it's itchy, it's tight, it's uncomfortable. The snake can be irritable when it's shedding its skin. It can't see very much because there's the way that the skin is coming across its eyes. As it's moving out of that skin, there's a lot of work that is involved with that. And Saturn cycles often represent work. That represents the time when we do the work and we put the new forms into place, we're willing to let go of what doesn't work, shed the old forms, then we can step into a new form that really supports us in an amazing way. I often like to describe that as the if you're moving into a new home, or even just rearranging things, or maybe you're remodeling, or maybe you're building a home. There are so many details that go into that process. All the decisions that have to be made. What's it going to look like? Where are you going to live if you're going to move into a new space? What kind of a space do you need? What is going to be in that space? There's certain limitations that may be based on the space that you're living in. Bedrooms are a great place to sleep. Kitchens are a great place to cook. Kitchens are not a great place to sleep, and bedrooms are not a great place to cook. So there's limitations that are associated with each of these places. And so working with Saturn is about really looking at what form do you want to support your life. And once it's set up, then it will support you. But there's work that goes into getting it set up. I had this experience really strongly some years ago when my oldest son had moved out and I was turning his bedroom into a place where I could do sessions for people. And it took a lot of work. We had to clean everything up and repaint the walls and bring in the new furniture and kind of organize everything in a new way. And I was doing a reading for somebody who was in a Saturn cycle, and suddenly I was like, oh, perfect description of how much work went into this space. But now I just get to come into this space and do a reading, and it supports me to do what I want to be doing. That is so Saturn. How cool is that? So that's the essence of what a Saturn initiation is about. And then where it's affecting your chart, what angles it might be going across, what planets it might be affecting, will also give additional information about what that Saturn cycle is about for you. So on a collective sense, we could say the world, planet Earth, is experiencing Saturn going through Scorpio. And this hasn't happened for almost 30 years. And what's the opportunity? What are the ways that we can work with Saturn in Scorpio? So let's look at what it is to have, what the archetypal sign of Scorpio is about. This is an energy that is most shamanic, most like the shamanic realms. Death, rebirth, regeneration, renewal, dying to who you believe yourself to be and being reborn to a more empowered self. That is really the ultimate intent of the Scorpio archetype. The expression of will and desire and in alignment with divine will, the mantra of Scorpio is, I will, my will, be thy will. I will, my will. Those two wills are connected to you personally. And then it is in alignment with divine will. I will, my will, be thy will. And that is the essence of learning how to align your will consciously with intention to divine will. And I'm going to speak a lot about that when I get to the part that is how to work with Saturn in Scorpio and what we can benefit from understanding how will and desire are actually very important. Will and desire. So desire is often seen in some spiritual traditions as bad. It's the thing that trips us up when, you know, this is the thing that keeps us attached to this realm and to this, you know, to this experience in this middle world reality. And if you really want to evolve and get off the wheel of karma or, you know, not come back to this realm, you got to go past your desires. But part of being in a physical body, part of being human is having desire. Desire is not the problem. In fact, desire is the engine of creation. It is desire that actually moves us in an evolutionary process. We desire to have something better. We desire to move forward. We desire to be more connected to great spirit, great mystery, God, goddess, all that is. We desire to be healthy. We desire to be happy. We desire to make a difference in the world. There are so many ways that desire is the engine of creation. And there are desires that are that are definitely moving us in an evolutionary flow. The challenge with desire is our attachments to how that desire manifests, our attachments to outcome. So, you know, if we have a desire and it doesn't manifest in the way that we want it to, we can be angry, upset, frustrated, etc. So the challenge is to surrender our attachments to the desires coming, you know, manifesting in a certain way, to our beliefs, and that the world operate according to certain beliefs, to surrender our desires, perceptions of those desires, or our perceptions and outcomes. So when we, you know, Scorpio is a lot about surrender, but is also about surrendering into very strong feelings. Scorpio is learning to master the feeling realm, especially so it can experience ecstatic states of life force energy as an end in itself, as just for the sake of having that experience. Scorpio doesn't do it for some cause. Scorpio doesn't do it to benefit someone. Scorpio isn't about, you know, trying to save the world or make things better for everyone else, unless, of course, they're getting off on that energy in a personal way. And then that could be part of it. But it's really not for someone else. It's not to be a hero or to further someone else's cause, but it's ultimately, bottom line for Scorpio is to simply have the experience for its own sake, for its own, you know, essence, and having that experience, allowing ourselves to be in such great alignment with the powerful life force energy that we become the conduit for that, for its own sake. It's as if we become the conduit for life to express through us, that life force energy, that power, that intensity for its own sake, not to have power over others, not to be conquering, you know, not to be, getting revenge and bending other people to our will. That's more of a shadow expression of Scorpio, but rather to have that strong sense of personal desire, not good, not bad, you know, no judgment about what the desire is, but having it just for its own sake, and then not being attached to what the outcome is, being open to the outcome being more amazing than what we could even imagine. So that is an expression or an essence of Scorpio. So the another aspect we could say of Scorpio is that its interest is in figuring out ways to connect with life force energy, to get the life force energy to move, to rise, to express, to grow, to, you know, to have an intense experience of it, and actually to produce a response in oneself and in those around them or around you. So to really activate and enliven life force energy, we could use the example of someone who is a musician, and maybe they're doing really tantric kind of music that gets that very primal sexual life force energy moving in everyone. And the musician who is this, say the Scorpio musician who is playing that kind of music, is totally getting off on it, as is everybody who's participating, who's listening to and part of that experience. It's a way of moving that life force energy. So Scorpio really is about activating that energy. So there is a sense that there's a way of connecting into life force energy that is way beyond anything we can imagine. It is so powerful, so forceful, so big that the only thing that we can do to be connected into that energy is surrender into it. We could say it's like when the tsunami comes or, you know, the flood comes and it carries us away and we have no control over where it's taking us, or, you know, anything other than to just ride the wave and hope that it takes us to an amazing place. And that's part of the journey of Scorpio, is to learn to surrender to that current of life force energy and trust that it's taking us where we want to go. So Saturn, having to do with rules, boundaries, form can also, you know, be connected into doing things perfectly, you know, in a controlled, kind of measured way. It's maybe a way of looking at Saturn experience that has been particularly strong in the last few thousand years. What we do and how we produce results and how we take responsibility, or how we're at the effect of events that seem unfair. Saturn can be that way. And if you would like to get a little bit more of the experience of how Saturn can feel unfair, I do have an article on my website under the astrological sharings, I believe, or personal, or something about my insights. Anyway, it's called When Life is Unfair, a Saturn Story, and it's a personal experience I had about feeling life was unfair and the insight that I got from that, which is kind of a cool thing to have an experience of, because Saturn can definitely feel unfair, especially initially when we first are encountering it in a Saturn cycle. So with Saturn in Scorpio, we could say that what's the opportunity for us in a collective sense, and for people who are in a Saturn process during this time, this is especially true for you. We could say you're on the leading edge. You're really going to feel this in a very profound personal way. Everyone's going to feel it to some degree, but some people are going to feel it more personally than others. And again, if you have personal planets, angles, or nodes in the signs of self-interest of Leo, Aquarius, Taurus, and Scorpio, you will be in a Saturn cycle sometime over the next 3 years. So, mastering the feeling realm is part of what this is about. The encounter with the rules and boundaries of the past, what have we outgrown? What are we ready to move into? How can we align our will, our personal will, with divine will? And this is where the work with the right use of will, or, you know, when our individual will can come into alignment with divine will through our intention and through our willingness to embrace our feelings. This at this time, really being willing to embrace feelings, and we're talking about the whole range of feelings, the fury, the anger, the hurt, the disappointment, the frustration, the betrayal, as well as the love, the support, the joy, the ecstasy. You know, it's the full range of feelings. What's happened in our culture in the last few thousand years is we've been disconnected from feelings, from feeling feelings, even intensely joyful feelings. You know, there's been some kind of judgments that have been put into place from that. And that has really disconnected us from our individual will, because individual will expresses as feelings. And from the Scorpio perspective, it's all about our personal will being in alignment with divine will. So when the individual will can feel the loving acceptance of its feelings, of its own essence, of its own personal sense, then it automatically comes into alignment with divine will. You don't have to will it to come into divine will, but it comes from being able to lovingly accept everything you feel. And to also express it. So the first step is releasing judgment, and releasing judgment about the self. So there's a great book. It's kind of a manual for this. It's called The Right Use of Will: Healing and Evolving the Emotional Body. And there's lots of really great suggestions in this book. I've read this book several years ago and have been working with this for some time. And I'm excited about Saturn being in Scorpio, because it says to me that doing this particular work now is going to have a thousandfold effect we could say there's times when there's, you know, the things that you do may have produced certain results, and then there's other times you may do it and it produces 100 times or 1,000 times that effect. Well, Saturn in Scorpio is a time where it may not feel that way at first. It may feel like the opposite actually at first, because that's often the way Saturn's experienced. But if you stick with it and you keep going, then you'll find that the results are tremendous. So, in Saturn in Scorpio would suggest that it's really important to give yourself permission to feel what you feel and to express it, to move it, to give it voice, to say it out loud, to scream it if you need to. And if you're not in a place where you can scream and not worry about what other people are hearing, or they might come rushing to you to thinking that you might be in trouble, use a pillow. That's been my best friend sometimes, is using a pillow to scream into the pillow, because this moves the energy. It's sound, but it's also movement, and it's really important to move it. And it's, you know, expressing what you feel until you are, you know, complete and finished. Not to just kind of partly go into it. This is not Scorpio's way. It's about going into it all the way, as intensely and deeply as possible. Grieving, screaming, wailing, keening. In ancient times, women, and I think they still do in some cultures, will keen and cry and express, because it's a way to move the energy, the grief, the sadness, the pain, the frustration, the hurt, the anger, the betrayal. All of those feelings need to be moved. If we sit on them, if we repress them, then they're stuck in our body. So the sound, even saying, I hate you, you creep, you son of a bitch, you whatever, whatever you need to say, not to someone, because it's not about expressing this to someone. It's to a pillow. It's to, you know, someplace when you're in your own personal private place and moving your body, beating on the pillow if you need to, jumping up and down, laying on the bed, kicking and screaming, moving the energy. And oftentimes all it takes is the willingness to just start. Just to start. Maybe something upsets you and you take some space. You go in your room, you shut the door, you turn on the music so it's loud. You grab a pillow, you start screaming into it, lay on the bed, kicking and screaming, pounding your hands and feet into the bed. And then the feelings that are stuck and that are inside of you and that are not moving will suddenly start to move, and you don't have to make yourself do it. Your body just takes over and just does it. It might take a few minutes to get into that space, but there will be a place where your body will get into doing that. And so the gift of giving yourself permission to feel this deeply and this intensely, and to move it, not to sit on it, not to be quiet with it, and not just to seethe, you know, silently, like a, you know, like a bubbling cauldron, and then go off on somebody later when you least expect it, because, of course, that's what can happen when you're repressing and denying those feelings. And that is a shadow of a Scorpio, to sit on it, because it hasn't always been safe. But if you can give yourself permission to find the space to go into, to, you know, close the door and to scream and cry and, you know, pound and kick and jump up and down or whatever it takes to get you to move to these feelings. And you may have to do it more than once. You may get at one layer and, you know, reach your, you know, get to a place of exhaustion. The body stops and is ready to be complete for that moment. And then, you know, another wave comes later. Maybe it's a few days later, maybe it's a few weeks or a few months later, but giving yourself permission, making a commitment to yourself to really allow your will to express in safe ways. This is not about expressing it to other people. Once you've expressed the intensity of rage and hurt and grief, etc., that you have in these safe, very private ways, you can maybe then find healthy ways to express your feelings to someone if you need to do that. But just going off on them is not going to help anything. And that's really kind of an elegant use of feelings and will and desire. So the intention of Saturn in Scorpio is to really help with getting to the what's been repressed and denied. And once we release those denied and repressed and suppressed feelings, the life force energy can begin to flow. Magic can begin to happen. Amazing things can start coming into your life. It can be so liberating and so freeing, so orgasmic, actually, that it can blow your mind. It can totally blow you away. To deny these feelings, to continue to repress this within yourself, and whether you're doing it because you're afraid or because you're denying yourself in favor of other people, or because you feel like it's not being spiritual, then it will, you're just still carrying around all of that, emotional charge. And as I said, of course, it will get triggered at some point, and you may find yourself uncontrollably going off on someone. And we can see that sometimes that does happen, and then those stories get into the news, and we're all shocked and surprised. And, this is somebody who has been really repressing a lot of emotion. So this is really about feeling, accepting all of our feelings, all of the nasty, ugly feelings that we have, as well as the ones that are, confident and the ones that we would like other people to see us in the space of being loving and caring, kind and compassionate. And all of that's very real and valid, but becomes strengthened when we give ourselves the opportunity to release the repressed and denied feelings, when we're really listening to that part of ourself that needs expression. Then we can really heal in a way that is unlike anything we've ever experienced before. So, taking the time to get into the place of having the feelings, to experience whatever is meant to be ours to express and to experience. What is right, when we're healthy with our will, when we have gotten to all the repressed and denied feelings, then what we do in the moment, it's called right action. It will be right in the moment. It will help us accept where we are and also where other people are. It really helps to remove that sense of judgment when we have gotten to those deeper feelings. So this is the essence or the sense of how one of the ways that we can work with Saturn and Scorpio. Another aspect of the Scorpio mysteries is also the Edgewalker. And we've been kind of looking at that as we're talking about what could happen with Saturn and Scorpio. If Saturn is about the rules, the limitations, the rules that actually help us to successfully live in this reality, there can also be rules that have been outgrown and we need to shed and release until we can get to something that is healthier. The old systems that we've been living in, many of them need to just completely die. And so something new can be reborn. Scorpio is about regeneration, renewal, death and rebirth, dying to what no longer serves, dying to who we believe ourselves to be so that something new can be born. And if we're thinking of this as a collective experience on planet Earth, it is the opportunity for the Earth to go through a death and rebirth process. And it's such perfect timing. Saturn's going into Scorpio here at the end of 2012 as we're birthing into a new way of being. From the shamanic astrology perspective and the astrological mysteries, the December 21st, 2012 is not any more significant than many of the other dates that we've already been experiencing and other astrological timings that are yet to come. However, there's so much collective attention on that date that what we put our attention on does create a reality, or does create something that is, an intention. It's as, the idea that we inform the mysteries as much as they inform us. And since there's such a huge collective intention on that date, it'll be interesting to see what actually comes into manifestation. And having an intention to work with the right use of will, of releasing anything that has been repressed or denied, grief, you know, anger, frustration, betrayal, all of those things, you know, even desires for revenge and whatever we might have that are not, you know, the things we'd like to think that, you know, as spiritual people, as people who are on a spiritual path or who are interested in, you know, the most evolved expression we can be, it's sometimes hard to admit that we have these parts of ourselves that may be less than ideal, or what we might consider or judge as being less than ideal. But it is part of the human experience. And being willing to incorporate this underworld place, the places where these feelings have been repressed and sort of shoved off to, when we can incorporate that, when we can master the realm of feelings, allow ourselves to go into those feelings in safe ways, set up safe environment to do that, then we become masters of the feeling realm, and we become masters of life force energy. We can allow that life force energy to move through us, and we birth into a whole new, more empowered way of being in the world. We're less at the effect of all the things we've repressed and denied, all the things that are still unconsciously driving our life experience. It's really being willing to face those parts of ourselves, to incorporate that. And when we've done that, then we stop having to create that in an external reality to get us to look at it. So, for example, if we have been having experiences in our life where we create a lot of angry people in our life that get angry at us and say hurtful, mean things, that then they're probably reflecting a place where you've denied your own anger and your own hurt and your own frustration. So taking the time to do some emotional release work around those feelings can be incredibly liberating. And then what you will find is that the people in your reality will stop reflecting that anger to you. And then if you've done a lot of emotional release work and then you find yourself feeling angry, or that somebody comes into your life expressing anger, then it's an opportunity to say, huh, maybe a little bit more to go there. it's not necessarily going to happen in one session of being angry or frustrated or hurt or in grief. I did share this a couple of years ago. I went to a grief ceremony that was performed by Saban Fusome. And I decided, as a person who has a lot of Scorpio and Pluto on my chart, that I was going to totally turn myself over to the grief and grieve for myself and for, the part of me that is likes to be in service to the rest of the planet. It was like, I'm doing this for me and for everybody else. But I really had no idea how much it was going to be for me, because it wasn't easy. It's not always easy for me to do something for myself personally. So as I'm in this grief process and I'm allowing myself to keen as loudly as I possibly can, and I'm a very shy person, not usually doing this in front of people, but somehow I just surrendered into it, and my body took over at some point, and I was aware that I was being quite expressive, just rocking, moving, keening, and in the space at the grief altar, allowing this feeling just to keep moving through me, and just kind of rocking and moving with it. And suddenly I had this warm, liquid, kundalini, orgasmic feeling sweep through my body. And it was just wave after wave after wave of it coming through my body. And I was like, oh my God, this is what they are talking about. When you do emotional release work and you open up the space in your body, that's what that's about. Ha, I get it now, because I had done emotional release work and never gotten to that point before. So it may take a few times. It may not happen instantly. I cannot highly recommend this enough. As a way to move the things that no longer work for you. Sitting on repressing and denying your feelings is not helpful. It's not going to support you. It's not going to get you to the evolutionary place, to the growth, to the maturity that the possibility is for us at this time on a planetary level. So the Earth herself is also having the opportunity to express and to, you know, to go through this death and rebirth process. And we are a part of that. And the more that we do that within ourselves, we are adding that collective peace. You know, and it only takes 1% of us to get to that place where we have done the emotional release work and so on to create the release for the whole entire planet that will be spontaneous. It's kind of like you know, in emotional release processes, and what I've experienced is sometimes it's like, I'm not totally into it and I don't really want to do it, but I kind of know I need to. I'm a little bit mad. So then I just kind of give myself permission to be even more mad. And I, you know, start actively, you know, saying things or maybe screaming or hitting on a pillow or something to kind of start moving that energy a little bit. And then the body takes over and you don't have to try to do it anymore. It just takes over. The same thing with the earth. And when we hit that 1% where everything starts to move, we call it a phase transition in physics. It's called a phase transition when something's going to a superfluid state. There's all this chaos of intensity and the, you know, the electrons and molecules are maybe moving in the most chaotic manner possible. And then suddenly they all line up and become a superfluid in this most coherent phase. And this, I feel, is part of the gift of Saturn in Scorpio, is that as we release, as we allow ourselves to move into the chaos and to fully express and you know, embrace that chaos, those chaotic states that we tend to not want to go into. And Saturn loves order and it loves form and it loves things to be organized and in a specific form. But when we allow ourselves to do that Scorpio piece, to go into the most disorganized places and the most chaotic places, then we go through that phase transition. And it's almost as if, you know, if the earth herself is going into that phase transition, we want to be able to experience that with her. That is the gift of Saturn in Scorpio. How amazingly cool. How powerful is that? So the gift you give yourself is being willing to take, you know, to really get in touch with the repressed and denied feelings. And this isn't just anger, grief, betrayal, the sense of vengeance, whatever those feelings might be about. It's also the feelings of empowerment, strength, courage, having the ability to do what it is that we want to do, say, you know, feeling confident enough to do those things. Those feelings have also been repressed and denied. And so getting to them as well. So when we are doing emotional release work, ultimately the result is empowerment, personal empowerment, because we're no longer at the effect of repressed and denied feelings and beliefs that have kept us or held us back from being able to express who we truly are. So the single best thing that you can do for yourself and for any, you know, and for being able to live more fully your divine purpose and why you're here in alignment with divine will is to give yourself permission to feel what you feel, especially while Saturn is in Scorpio. So I just want to encourage everyone to tune into this time to take advantage of the opportunity that we have with Saturn in Scorpio and to be empowered